Welcome to the first podcast of the season on the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. Today from St. Joseph Ogden High School, talking football. Here are Matt Daniels and Anthony Zillis.
Welcome to the first Prep Sports Podcast here on the News Gazette in the 2017-18 school year. I'm sports editor Matt Daniels, joined by Preps coordinator Anthony Zillis, our producer engineer Ed Bond. We are in St. Joseph Ogden High School right now. Going to talk some Spartan football with head football coach Sean Skinner, along with two of his players, Bryce Hakey and Jason Bowman. So first off, guys, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Sean, I guess you guys got St. Thomas More tomorrow night, season opener on Friday night here in St. Joe. How eager, how ready are you for the season to get here?
Well, I think we're all ready. Players, coaches, everybody. We're just tired of seeing ourselves every day, so we're ready to see somebody new.
Sean, obviously you've got kind of a young team here this year. What's it been like kind of building the culture, sort of instilling the culture in a group that's, you know, a little younger?
They all understand what the culture is now. Whether or not they understand how to go to work every day, that's different. We're kind of we've said the last couple of days it's like being on a roller coaster. Some days we're up and we look really good, and other days we're down, and we have to learn to practice and prepare with consistency. When we do that, we've got a shot to be pretty good.
Now, Bryce, being a senior on this team, you're well aware of the tradition that this program has. Just what's it like playing for a program that has so much tradition at all?
Well, I've grown up in St. Joe my whole life, so it's nothing new to me. I've always played with that tradition. It's not really a pressure. It's just there. It's just something you're used to at this point.
Jason, what's it like kind of, you know, being, you know, maybe one of the most experienced players on this team and, you know, sort of maybe instilling that sort of tradition or that the culture on sort of the younger players?
I mean, you just got to make sure all the younger guys are working hard, doing what they're supposed to be doing. I think it's just a given when you're in St. Joe to know the tradition, so you don't have to really tell anybody. You just have to make sure everyone's doing what they're doing.
Sean, you know, you've got a pretty youthful roster this year. Tell us about some of the key players, some of the key contributors. Obviously, Bryce and Jason are going to factor significantly into the season, but who else on this year's roster are you looking for some big production from?
Right. Well, on the offensive and defensive line, you've got Eli Place. He's the one with the experience there, and he's done a very good job. He's sliding over from a guard position to center, but we've been pleased with how he's bringing everybody along. Dwight Colvin, returning running back, had good numbers for us last year. He's going to be more a featured role this year, so to speak. Caden Jacobs is a middle linebacker, going to help us run the defense. And then Jason and Bryce, they're going to help us on both sides of the ball.
Are they ever going to leave the field?
No. No, they're not. So, and they're ready for that, but no, they're not.
What do you feel like this – I mean, what's kind of the identity of this year's team? What are the strengths that you guys can really kind of hang your hat on?
Part of our strength is our youthfulness. There's an enthusiasm. There's an energy. We were really pleased when we put the tape on from the scrimmage last Friday, just the energy and effort that we saw. That was outstanding, and I don't know that we saw that one time last year from a totality standpoint, just both sides of the ball. With the youth – we've got kids going in scrimmages every day, really trying to find a place to play, and they're giving an effort. So that's their we do have athleticism and speed. We're not going to be bigger than anybody. Right now our strength isn't where we want it to be from, you know, a bench press or a deadlift number, but, man, we can run. So if we figure out how to use that, that's going to be our advantage.
Bryce, we're talking to you on Thursday afternoon. You guys open the season on Friday night against St. Thomas More here in St. Joe. What's it like the day of a game here during school? Can you concentrate in class? Are you getting asked about the game all the time? What's a normal game day like for you before the lights come on Friday night?
There's nothing like game day. I enjoy nothing more than Fridays during football season. Everyone's excited about the games, even if you're a player, cheerleader, or just a student here at St. Joe. It's definitely a special day.
Jason, I guess what do you see? I guess as sort of the, you know, kind of being one of the more experienced. What do you see as your kind of your strengths, your role on this team?
Besides never leaving the field.
Yeah, right.
I just feel like I have to take a leadership role Like, I have to make sure everyone knows what they're doing on all the plays.
No pressure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, I just have to be the guy that everyone can turn to if they have questions. I just have to be, yeah.
Does that fit into your personality, or does that, did you have any of those responsibilities, you know, maybe a year ago with, you know, sort of veteran group?
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of always been the same way. I've always, like, even last year, I didn't really come off the field a whole lot, so I was always out there. I knew what was going on. I knew the plays, offense and defense. I just feel like I've grown into a leadership role, and I think I need to keep going with that.
Sean, you've got a new quarterback this year as well. Keenan Swanson's going to step in to replace Marty right after Marty was the starter last year. Just what does Keenan kind of bring to the table at all?
The one thing Keenan brings that we haven't had is athleticism to that position, and that doesn't mean that we haven't had athletes in that position, but he is a different kind of player there. Again, not a lot of experience, so we don't know what he's going to do in the game as we sit here, but we know the athleticism is there. He, too, has some enthusiasm. Sometimes we have to ask him to curb his enthusiasm.
I think that's a TV
right,
show.
Is that a good way to describe Keenan? He's excitable at times. But, there's a fine line. You don't want to reel him in too much, but at times he's got to remember to stay calm and be in control.
With a team like this, how much of a sort of a leash do you have to give him, or how much of a learning period early on do you have to give him, more so than maybe a team with a lot of seniors?
I think we have to understand that they are going to make mistakes. There are going to be times that they look outstanding, and so there's going to be other times that they look really lost. And when they're confident with what they're supposed to do, when they mentally know where they're supposed to go, they're just fine. But there's going to be times, because of their lack of experience, they're going to make mistakes. They got to turn the page. They can't get down on each other. We can't get down on them too much, and understand that the next play is the most important one.
Obviously, Bryce and Jason, you are along with everyone else, all the other athletes here at St. Joe, are going into a new conference this year with the Illini Prairie Conference. Some familiar faces with the old OCA teams. And what's it like knowing you got a 9-week conference schedule coming up this season, and there's really no Friday night you guys can take off with the quality competition you guys are going to see?
Well, I think one thing that St. Joe always tries to do is build a schedule so that you're preparing to beat the best. And so with the new conference, I think that we're going to adapt really well to that, because we're used to having a strong schedule. So
for you guys, is it I know for the coaches it's a lot different, because they see the same teams year after year usually in their conference. For the players, is it kind of odd, kind of mixing up the schedule and playing these teams that maybe you didn't watch St. Joe playing, growing up?
I mean, this year I feel like it's going to be different because we're facing a lot bigger schools. Mm-hmm. Usually we're facing schools our size, but this year we're facing Pontiac and those schools, and they're bigger than us. So it's going to be different from that standpoint. But, I mean, we just got to look at it as a regular football game.
Mm. I know, Sean, your sole focus the next 24 hours is getting ready for St. Thomas More, but looking long ahead later in the season, because us sports writers like to do that. What are the challenges, I guess, in terms of preparing for new teams that you haven't seen before in the past, like Jason said, like Pontiac and IBC and other new teams in the Illini Prairie Conference?
I think one of the things that it helps us with, even with a young team, is they learn to prepare for the moment. They don't look ahead. They're just focused on what we're doing this week, and that's one of the advantages that we've had here for a long time. Some people ask us, why do we have success? I think we've done a very good job. One of the standards we have here is we're focused on this week. It doesn't move beyond this week. We've got to stay right here. It's going to be nice to see new teams, as you alluded to, and it's going to be nice to maybe have some opposition that doesn't know everything about us either. But at the same time, one of the things that has been nice from a coaching staff standpoint is we haven't had to stress out about what our schedule is and how we're filling it. It's been locked, it's been set, and that's afforded us the opportunity to do some work that we didn't have to kind of scramble on in the past years.
So were you kind of getting all the footage that you could after like after last season and sort of watching, you know, trying to scout out these teams in the off season or what?
You know, with Huddle, with YouTube, there's so many ways you can. So we did a little bit of that. But at the same time, you understand, you know, if you were to look at our team from last year, if you were to look at film, you're not going to know anything about us. There's such big turnover. So that's one of the things. You can kind of get a feel for maybe the system and what they do. But at the same time, you're not getting a lot of detail on the players. So, you know, we didn't spend a lot of time maybe as we would in years past with teams that we know that are coming back. Some of these new teams we're just going to have at it that week.
Bryce and Jason, final question to both of you guys as we wrap up here. The first part of the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast, talking with St. Joseph Ogden football coach Sean Skinner, Bryce Hakey, and Jason Bowman, two of the seniors. Bryce, what is a Friday night like for you after a win?
Singing in the locker room. A lot of times we try to get together at someone's house, and it's not just limited football players. It's everyone. It's the community aspect.
Jason?
Are you
leading the chorus in the locker room?
From time to time. Sometimes they like to play like new songs that I have no idea how they go. So, yeah. Usually after football games, I like to go home and sleep.
What kind of music are you playing?
Rap.
Okay.
Anything.
You're a country fan, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay. Sean, what's a Friday night like for you after a big win at all? Do you go to bed? Or are you still on an adrenaline high?
There's not a lot of sleep. Win or lose. Win or lose. You know, we try to tell the players that they've got 24 hours to enjoy it. And if, you know, after when we do, we try very hard as a staff to take 24 hours to unwind. The reality is usually within a few hours you're beginning to prepare for the next week, and that's just the reality of how it is. But we're fortunate as a coaching staff, we always do get together with our families, and we take time to just appreciate what we're going through and try to take our minds off it that way.
Gotcha. All right, guys, I'll let you get back to your busy Thursday afternoons, but thanks again to Sean Skinner, Bryce Hickey, Jason Bowman from the St. Joseph Ogden football program. The Spartans open up the 2017 season, 7 o'clock on Friday night here in St. Joe against St. Thomas More. We'll be right back on the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast.
Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that every day at newsgazette.com, there's a bevy of podcasts for your listening pleasure, from Jim Turpin's Penny for Your Thoughts to Scott Beatty's Sports Talk to interviews with the movers and shakers in town on The Morning Show. Check it out, newsgazette.com. Search for podcasts.
Welcome back to the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. I want to thank Sean Skinner, Bryce Hakey, and Jason Bowman from the St. Joseph Ogden football program for stopping by. The Spartans play 7 o'clock on Friday night in their season opener, and I'm sports editor Matt Daniels, joined by preps coordinator Anthony Zillis. And that's right, folks, high school football is right around the corner. It's in less than about 30 hours or so as we're recording this on Thursday afternoon at St. Joseph Ogden High School. 35 of our area teams are going to get into action. I believe 34 on Friday night. Milford, Cisna Park plays on Saturday afternoon. Everyone else gets going on Friday night. But Anthony, just what are you looking forward to? What are you eagerly anticipating out of this high school football season?
I guess these
first loaded question.
Yeah, right. These first couple weeks, you know, you're always looking for maybe the teams that you didn't expect. I think last year, you know, we had, you know, like our Jenna Oriana had a couple nice wins early on, and a couple other teams. Kind of the first week of last year kind of escapes me now, but
it's all blur.
Yeah, a couple teams kind of, you know, always surprising. You sort of see, you see what your expectations were, and how they kind of match up to reality, I guess.
Exactly. Well, Anthony, you'll be at Tommy Stewart Field on Friday night. Champaign Central opens the season against Peoria Richwoods, a Big 12 game to start off the season for the Maroons. Central's coming off a 4-5 season last year, struggled at the beginning of the season, and then kind of made a late season push and fell just short of the playoffs. But what are you kind of anticipating out of the Maroons this year? Nate Alba in his fourth season at Central, 2 years removed from their historic run in 2015 to the Class 5A state semifinals. Not a lot of the same names that we've kind of grown accustomed to with Central this year back.
Right. I think we had gotten used to all these, you know, star skill players that they had that you know, eventually graduated, obviously. But this year you're kind of looking at a new flight of players. You got Connor Milton. He's a sophomore. He should kind of play a starring role for the next couple of years. I think that's a name we're going to hear a lot.
Son of Howard Milton, a very big name in the Illinois Athletic Department.
And then, I guess I didn't know that, but at this point.
Learn something new on the Prep Sports Podcast.
We'll get to know him over the next 3 years. But then we got senior Tony Clark. He will be another kind of guy who's playing a featured role. Then I guess you'd have to look at a lot of guys who are on the line that you're not going to really hear their names quite a bit. But they're going to have a talented maybe front, or at least a bigger front than they've had in years past. So you're going to be able to kind of maybe pave the way, and you'd almost think, you don't want to say it's a must win in the first week of the season, but for the way their schedule plays out, you don't want to have to rely on wins in the last 3 weeks of the season against Peoria, Notre Dame, Peoria, and Normal Community. Not to say that their first six games of the season are easy, but this against Peoria Richwoods is going to be one that they, if they don't win, it's going to make qualifying for the playoffs pretty difficult.
Exactly. Another stand in the Big 12, Danville finished 8-3 last year, made it to the second round of the playoffs in Class 6A, their first playoff appearance since 2010. New coach this year in Marcus Forrest takes over for BJ Luke, but the Vikings should be talented and pretty competitive in the Big 12. They were ranked 9th in the first Associated Press poll, which came out on Wednesday in Class 6A. They've got an Illinois commit in Julian Pearl, about a 6'7", 250 tight end who's going to transition to play offensive line. At Illinois, he'll also contribute on defense, probably one of the best kickers in the state, in Caleb Griffin. They're working in a new quarterback this year after Quentin Smith graduated, but Jerry Reed is back in the backfield. So I kind of hit on some of the key players coming back for the Vikings. Can they make a similar run like they did last year at all, Anthony?
It'll really depend on kind of the development of maybe some of their sophomores, some of their juniors that haven't played a whole lot the last last couple of years. Last year, I think their big thing was that they had a lot of guys who were 3-year starters at that point. Not quite so much of that this year, but you're going to see got a lot of talent. Another guy that will contribute a lot is Justin Moultrie. He's 6'3", 348 up front. Big athletic guy.
Mountain of a man.
Yes,
with a good personality too.
Yes, he is. He is a nice kid. Just very big, and
very good football player.
He's mean on the football field. Yes, and he's getting some Division I looks. I think coaches are kind of wanting to see his tape from the first several games. You could have a quarterback in there. I don't think that last I talked to Marcus Forrest, they hadn't decided on a quarterback, but it's between Elijah Davis, who's who was a backup last year, but Ernest Plummer, the star baseball player, hasn't played high school football, but he could be their starting quarterback.
There
so a lot of questions. Lance Langley, another player that will contribute, and Caleb Griffin could be playing some receiver. I even saw him throw a pass at practice.
Wow. It wasn't, who knows?
Didn't connect. I would say he's a soccer player. I'll say that. But
he's a four-sport athlete.
He's a great athlete. Don't mean to make fun of him.
I understand, Anthony. In Class 3A, there were two teams two area teams right near the top of the first AP poll, and Unity coming in at number two, and then Monticello right behind them at number three. Those two teams meet this season on September 29th in what should be a heck of a game in the Illini Prairie Conference. And Anthony, looks like those two are just reloading this season.
You hit on it. Ranked
number two and three A. And Monticello is third right behind them. And the Rockets got Stephen Miggott back, and as Anthony, as you know, he's quite the athlete.
Yeah, he's just not often that you have an all-state hurdler with his size playing quarterback. That's just, I think maybe if you were to pick a perfect track event for like a runner in football, it would probably be the hurdles. It just shows how athletic you are. And he's just, he's going to rank in the top couple in our area in rushing yards this season. but just a lot of weapons around him, just a lot of size at receiver. You have two state qualifying high jumpers and John Decker, who's 6'6", I believe, and mm-hmm. then Levi Williams, another state qualifying high jumper, and then Dawson Kaiser, mm-hmm. brother Jaden Kaiser, played a couple of years ago, was an all-state 100-meter runner. He just missed out on the mm-hmm. the 100 finals. So just talent all over.
Yeah, Keaton Eckstein's back in the backfield right. as well after yep. rushing for more than 1,100 yards. The big question for Unity, I think, right now is just defense. They only have a few starters back from last year. But as area football fans are well aware, Scott Hamilton coaches them up down in Tolono, and I'd be shocked if I would not be surprised if they want another deep postseason run. That's kind of become the norm for them. And Monticello, too, right. Working in a new quarterback this year after Caleb Hansen graduated, our all-area player of the year last year, threw for more than 3,200 yards, 37 touchdowns. Braden Snyder, who saw limited time last year, is going to step into that starting quarterback role, but he's not alone in terms of the talent that they have. Lucas Lee, a running back, is back after rushing for almost 1,000 yards. They've got three starters on the offensive line back. Johnny Dawson is back at wide receiver. Braden Thomas, another wide receiver who actually gave a commitment late Thursday night to walk on at Illinois starting in 2018 as well. And then on defense, it's led by Nathan Harmon. Had 140 tackles last year and 5 interceptions, and they've got a boatload of other returnees on the defensive side of the ball. So the Sages are locked and loaded over there. It should be another great year for them. And then in Class 2A, there's three area teams that were ranked in the top 10. Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin, which we're going to have to get used to saying this year. Mm-hmm. They're ranked fifth in the preseason poll. Isaac Kitchens is back, our area rushing leader, rushed for more than 1,800 yards last year. Gibson City, Melvin Sibley comes in at number 9. Westville at number 10 in 2A, and then down in 1A, Tuscola ranked second, and Arcola, I believe, ninth or 10th. Memory's not serving me well on that, where the Purple Riders are ranked. But they are in the first top 10 of the season in the AP poll, so plenty of good area teams to be on the lookout for, and we'll have all that covered in the News Gazette. And check out our high school football special 20-page special section, which comes out Friday, which has capsules on all 35 area teams. Anthony, I know that was most of your August, so that was a great great project, great contributions, and be sure to look out for that. We're going to take a quick break here on the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast and be right back to wrap up this week's show.
Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that every day at newsgazette.com, there's a bevy of podcasts for your listening pleasure, from Jim Turpin's Penny for Your Thoughts, to Scott Beatty's Sports Talk, to interviews with the movers and shakers in town on The Morning Show. Check it out, newsgazette.com. Search for podcasts.
Welcome back to the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. We've talked a lot of football so far between myself, Matt Daniels, sports editor, and Anthony Zillis, our preps coordinator. But Anthony, you were at a highly competitive soccer match in Champaign on Wednesday night between St. Thomas More and Champaign Central at Franklin Field. And Sabres pulled out a close one with a 1-0 win against the Maroons. Joe Hoffman came through late off a corner kick that never got settled or cleared at all. But what's kind of your big takeaway from the game? What should we expect, I guess, this upcoming season on the area boys soccer scene?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting because St. Thomas More had never beaten Champaign Central, but it wasn't exactly your typical, you know, small school, big school type of matchup, because Champaign Central is a pretty young team. They've got a lot of talent, led by Santiago Rodriguez, who some people think, you know, may be the most, you know, one of the best players in the area, the best forward in the area, possibly. But St. Thomas More, is a veteran team. I think 6 seniors in their starting lineup and 2 sets of brothers, which always helps your chemistry. Joe Hoffman and his brother J.P. Hoffman are 2 of those. And Joe Hoffman is also one of the best forwards in our area. It was just an incredibly evenly matched game. You know, fun game to watch, intense. You could tell that some of the players, I think, knew each other, and particularly some of the defenders on Santiago Rodriguez were a little bit, you know, you could tell they knew who he was, mm-hmm. and were pretty intense in their defense of him. But I think we're going to see a St. Thomas More team that, you know, maybe develops even more throughout the year. and could really make a nice run in 1A, assuming another area team like Uni High doesn't beat them first.
Yeah, exactly. And last year, the Sabres lost a regional title match to Oakwood Salt Fork. Mm-hmm. So the area, I'd say, is just getting better in terms of small school soccer. Yes. More programs develop their programs and have it consistently year after year.
Absolutely.
You look back a decade or so ago, a lot of these schools didn't have some of these programs, and now they're staying competitive, and they should have some great matches throughout the season. Urbana, I'd say, maybe kind of the class right now, just based on what they accomplished last year. The only big school program in our area to win a regional. They fell in the sectional semifinals, but Randy Blackman always has talent over there with the Tigers, and Centennial started off the season with a win against St. Anthony, so we'll see where the Charters go from there. And Uni High, like you mentioned, Anthony, you can never discount a team coached by Phil Anders. They're always going to be competitive, technically sound, and have some skilled players. Don't know if they can make a run like they've had in the past where they make it to the state tournament, but never discount Uni High when it comes to boys soccer. So the area is chock full again of talented teams that should make for a very competitive next few months as the season plays out. On the volleyball scene, I know, Anthony, on Thursday night, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon, you're going to go see Centennial Volleyball tonight. They opened the season against Lincoln with a new coach in the Chargers. Genevieve O'Malley is now first-year coach at Centennial, but kind of a surprising win, I'd say, on Tuesday night in the area of volleyball scene. Mohammed Seymour knocked off Champaign Central in three sets. The Maroons won a 3A regional title last year, have a Illinois commit and Riley Hinton, a promising junior for the Maroons, but Mohammed was able to pull out a key early win.
Yeah, I've had people tell me that they wouldn't be surprised if Champaign Central made a run to state this year in Class 3A. So the fact that Mohammed Seymour won this game after, you know, last year was a little bit maybe of a down year, for the program. But Savannah Matthews is a Kent State commit. She's one of the more talented players in the area. Had 10 kills, 10 digs in that game. Kayan Garner, she's a sophomore, a couple sophomores that start for that team. She had 22 assists in that one. So just a kind of a young, maybe one of the young up and coming teams that we could be hearing from a lot in the next, couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. Since we're recording this podcast at St. Joe's Vaughan, we'd be remiss to not talk a little bit about the Spartan volleyball program that finished second in state last year in Class 2. I have to replace a lot of key pieces off of last year's team. There will be a new News Gazette All-Area Volleyball player this year because, Anthony, your first 2 years on the beat, all you've profiled is Kylie Michael because she's won it the last 2 years, now a freshman down at Eastern Illinois University, but the Spartans still should be pretty solid again this year. Abby Burnett's a senior, committed to Parkland to play college volleyball. She's going to probably be the offensive focal point, and got a few other pieces back from last year: Sydney Kelso, Bree Trimble, Sarah Acklin, among others. So SJO once again in volleyball should be a contender to make a run in the postseason. Lots of other area teams should also factor significantly in as the season winds through, so it should be fun to watch on the area volleyball scene. Golf has been going on for a few weeks. Be remiss to not talk about Elena Bowie, at least mention her. She shot a 64 in her season opening tournament about a week and a half ago down in Windsor. Sophomore at St. Thomas More had, I believe, 10 birdies and one bogey in that round, and she's really good, Anthony.
Yes, she's tall, athletic kid that she can drive the ball and just maybe a girls golfer like we haven't seen in a while in this area.
Yeah, Mia Hayasaki is well back for her senior season at Champaign Central. She earned medalist honors on Wednesday in a meet against Tuscola down in Savoy. So lots of good golfers on the area scene, both boys and girls. We'll talk more about that throughout the upcoming school year. We're going to wrap up our first Preps podcast of the year. Anthony, thank you for your contributions. Ed, thanks for making us sound good as always. Thanks again to St. Joseph Ogden High School for hosting us, and we'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening.